Hi, my name is Jamie Johnson, and I am the founder of a company called Verde that does energy efficiency in Chicago. And each week I interview small business owners that we've worked with just to hear a little bit about their story and their background. And today we are here with Buddy Green, one of our customers from 2014. So Buddy and I have known each other for quite a long time, and we've actually become friends. So this is fun to sit down together. And we're enjoying a coffee from Dee's Coffee in Highwood, which is, in my opinion, has the best coffee in Highwood. So,
very good.
Other than perhaps Froggy's French Cafe, but they weren't open this morning, so we did Dee's Coffee.
They're not open for breakfast.
They are not. So Buddy, if you could, tell me a little bit about your background of why you started Dearborn Copper and Wire and give me a little bit of the background about it.
Well, when I got out of the service, out of the Marine, you don't get out of the Marine Corps. When I left active duty and I ski bummed for a couple of years in Alta, Utah. Then I came back to Chicago. And to be perfectly honest, I bounced around from job to job to job. Anyhow, to make a long story short, my very close high school buddy and friend, Dick Rosenberg, asked me if I would come become a salesman for his stepfather's company. And they were primarily magnet wire distributors in the Chicago area. And you know, I agreed. And I met with some immediate success there. I called at the electronic supply office up in Great Lakes back in those days, and this was, the late 50s. Mm-hmm. And they bought for the whole Navy. And I created a good relationship with the purchasing people, and we were very competitive, and we were getting a lot of awards, a lot of government awards. So that worked well, and then in those days, Chicago was like the manufacturing capital of everything. Mm. We were the largest manufacturer of radios in the country, largest manufacturer of transformers in the country, motor manufacturers, everything that sucked up wire and cable, fixtures, all that kind of stuff. And so I was doing pretty well. And how we got into our own business, Dick, for various reasons, did not get along with his stepfather very well. And he was fired, and it was right around Christmas time, 1961, very late, Christmas time, 61. I was living in a coach house in Highland Park. And there's a knock on the door, and it's snowing, and then I open the door, and there's Dick. He says, he didn't even say hello. He says, "You want to go into business for ourselves?" I says, "Sure, but why?"
Yeah.
He says, "Well, the old man just kicked me out." And that's basically how we got started. Each with about, I remember pretty correctly, $1,100. We had $2,200 total between us. Everything total.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah.
And that's how we got started in the wire and cable business. Dick was like Mr. Inside, and I was Mr. Outside because I could sell.
Yeah. And how long did it take before you got your first customer from that time he knocked on your garage door?
Probably as soon as we went into business, we got a place to rent on Grand and Ogden Avenue in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got started in there, and we got credit and was buying product that we knew moved and to build an inventory in this little tiny shop, so to speak, and that was a start. And I went out on the street and got orders right away, from customers that I already had, where I had a following. And it was so easy in those days to knock on doors in Chicago. We were like the organ manufacturing capital of the world too.
Really?
Yeah. And pinball machines, slot machines. It just, boy, there was a lot of business in Chicago.
So you had confidence that the business model was good. You already knew you could make it work. It just was a matter of executing at that point.
Oh, we were fully confident. Yeah. But we were working, you know, we'd meet for breakfast at between 5:30 and 6 in the morning, mm-hmm. and go to work, and we never looked at a clock,
yeah.
ever.
Yeah.
7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, whatever the hell it was. And many later, and, you know, when we progressed, we started entertaining customers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't get home till 12, 1, 2 in the morning, mm-hmm. depending upon the customer.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Well, you've told me many times, and I always love hearing this, although I don't always feel the same, but you said you never worked a day in your life because you loved what you did so much.
Absolutely.
And
That's a statement that I will stand by.
Yeah. I hope to get there someday.
Jamie, you will. You're bright, and you're young, and, you know, I see from the board how it's very different from back in my day, quote,
sure.
quote. I mean, this computer knowledge that you all have and the way you use the internet and all those systems, you know, we had none of that.
Sure.
You know, a girl would stand there and file and did everything by hand, and it was a different world. When you went to look things up, it would take 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You couldn't push a button and there it is.
Yeah.
So, different from that, but yeah. still worked. So.
Yeah, well, you built quite a successful business, so you definitely know what you were doing.
Yeah, took a while. There were a couple of hiccups, but to be perfectly honest, it worked out pretty damn well.
Good. About that quote, you never worked a day in your life. What were your favorite specific parts of running your business? What was it that you loved so much?
Oh, I think that's kind of an easy one, and that's the relationships.
Yeah.
Many of the buyers or purchasing people or people that worked at the companies we sold became pretty friendly with some of these people. And, I mean, these were true friendships.
Yeah.
How are your kids doing? Go to their christening, go to their bar mitzvah, whatever the hell it was. That
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, friends for life, really. And some who, you know, died too young. They're good people. You know, it's going through my mind, some of them.
Sure.
But the relationships were key. Supplier relationships,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
So you enjoyed I don't mean to assume here, but it sounds like you enjoyed the relationships outside the company, your own company. You enjoyed the vendors and the people you sold to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's. I enjoy that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And meaningful. And, you know, Jamie, I'm sure like you, you're happy, you got a great wife, you got children, just like I have. But the business is just a huge, huge part of your life.
Yeah.
There's no two ways.
Yeah.
In fact, you better enjoy it or get the hell out.
Yeah. You know? Well, and I think that's why, you know, I think you and I have connected so much because I enjoy selling too. And I don't think I would be very good at sales anywhere else. But I love talking to business owners because of all the... You can look at a person and you can totally understand they know what you're going through, you know. Someone can say, oh, it's hard to make payroll, but until you've lived through it and felt it, that's like an instant connection that it's hard to meet with. It's hard to feel that with anyone else except for another business owner. So.
Oh, sure. And yeah, they do understand.
Yeah.
Unless it's daddy's company, then that's a whole different thing.
It's a different story.
And some of them are great, and some of them are,
yeah.
they can thank daddy or
yeah.
they'd be out selling whatever
yeah.
somewhere.
Yep. Well, everyone gets their start in different ways. So, but I love your story because you built it from the ground up, and you and your partner, and I think that's also interesting that you were able to stay connected with your partner for so many years because I've not often seen that.
Yeah. I think our total business career, 62, we both left the company in 2003. So how many years is that? Whatever number of years, you're good with the numbers.
Yeah, it sounds like...
40-some-odd years.
Yeah, just about 40.
And to this day, you know, I'm very friendly with my partner. The problem is, he had a couple of strokes, so I'm not sure he knows me anymore.
Yeah.
But I take him to dinner and try to make conversation.
Yeah.
You know, he'll converse to a degree.
Yeah.
He doesn't. I don't think he even knows his own grandchildren. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Because he was, Dick was. Dick was a hell of a guy. I mean, if I had to go away for 6 months and there's $1,000 on the table, when I came back, there'd be $1,000 plus interest. That's the way Dick was or is.
Yeah. No, that's great. I'm definitely envious of that, because I definitely do this on my own with support of many people. But it's I definitely could see how that would be a huge...
Well, what I also found out, Jamie, we had partners. Let's see. We had partners. We started with them in 67. And the relationship was good. They treated us good. They paid us well. They gave us nice bonuses, all that kind of thing. But in the 90s, so that's 30-some-odd years, 67, 97, maybe a little less, they had other ideas. And I think they thought we had built the company to a position just because of inertia, it would run for a while by itself.
Yeah.
But we also were making acquisitions and everything, which was one of, you know, another of our skills, because we're working in our own business. We weren't going to outside. That's a whole other story, but they tried to push both Dick and I out.
Yeah.
That was the bad part of the whole story.
So
but
that was,
fortunately, we overcame in a court battle.
So that was the most challenging time, when you had some partners that had owned a portion of the company that were investors, and they tried to steer in a different direction.
They controlled the company.
Yeah.
They had the controlling interest. This is a family-held business, and we went to court, and we were told the odds are stacked against you, and the judge ruled for us. They were called findings of facts. There were 7 findings of facts of why our partners didn't have to do what we asked and should succeed in removing us, and the judge found for us on every single finding.
How about that?
Pretty amazing.
Probably a good day for you, huh?
Oh, was it? That was one of the greatest days.
That was one of the greatest days.
One of the greatest days.
Yeah. Well, just to kind of wrap up, I mean, I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, buddy. You've been a great friend and mentor to me. You've been over for dinner, and I love, you mentioned inventory. I love talking to you about all things inventory and sales and everything in between. And so
that's pretty mutual, Jamie.
Good. Yeah. I appreciate that, buddy.
I really respect and admire what you've done and accomplished already.
Right.
And also, I know a little of your background. Pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
One day you might sit down and write a book.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So, I appreciate that. So, in 2014 we did some work together to reduce energy in your offices, which
Correct.
We're in now,
yeah.
Which is obviously not the offices of Dearborn, your previous company, but it's a place that you work professionally and you have. And just to kind of summarize, we basically took some really old fluorescent lighting and upgraded it to the time to what was the most efficient solution. And I think we put a programmable thermostat and a couple LED light bulbs. Tell me why you did that. Like, what motivated you to make that investment in this space?
Well, when you... However, Mendino might... The landlord. Joe might have even called me first, but I can't remember. I think I knew you were coming.
I think he called and offered to buy you dinner, if I remember correct. If he hasn't bought you dinner, I think he owes you.
Yeah, getting a dollar out of Joe, that'd be a good thing. But anyhow, you came up and you were talking about the Commonwealth Edison deal and all these things, and my question was, well, how much will it cost me? And you said nothing, and I said, go right ahead, baby.
Yeah.
I had nothing to lose, and as it turned out, it, you know, much better, needless to say.
Yeah, and I think at the time that was a special geo-targeted campaign that the utility was running just for Highwood, and they were covering 100% of the cost, and it was a really good deal. So
yeah.
You'd be surprised some of the skepticism people didn't want to take part in this program.
Well, I can understand that.
But you
there's no free lunch.
Yeah,
this was a free lunch.
Yeah, it was at the time, and everyone, you had paid into it for all the years you paid your electric bill, so you had kind of prepaid for the work we did. But yeah, that was you were one of my first. I think you were probably my seventh or eighth customer ever.
And it went well.
Yeah, I remember sitting here.
Your
and talking.
Mechanic was good. Yep. I remember.
We were talking about. I think he was. We were talking about Polish soccer. I think at the time it was around
That's
the world.
That's exactly right. You do have a memory. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, just to wrap up here, this is Jamie Johnson and Buddy Green. We had a nice conversation about his founding and running and eventually selling his company, Dearborn Copper and Wire.
Dearborn Wire and Cable.
Dearborn Wire and Cable.
But the majority of it was copper.
Yeah.
Insulated copper.
Yeah. And I think I learned from this podcast to take notes beforehand so I don't say the wrong thing. But I enjoyed our time together, Buddy, and I look forward to many more.
You got it, Jamie.